Take your two favorite words, smush them up together, and you got yourself a portmanteau. Join us on the latest You're Saying It Wrong podcast as we look at how we mash up words to turn them into other words. Humpty Dumpty would be so proud. You're Saying It Wrong. Find it at KMUW.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Marginalia, a production of KMUW Wichita.
Marginalia. Notes in the margin of a book.
Notes, commentary, and similar material written in the margin of a book.
Comments and notes which are incidental
or additional to
the main topic in the margin of a book.
If you're a Marginalia listener, you know that this podcast features interviews with authors of the newest releases in publishing. When I first learned about the X Talk, it was described as a novel set in public radio. My worlds collided, and I believe my reaction was, yes, please. The X Talk is a romantic comedy set in the Pacific Northwest. A producer clashes with her fresh out of J school colleague. A concept for a new show is approved where two exes deliver relationship advice live on air. Since these coworkers dislike each other so intensely, they are deemed the perfect co-hosts. As the show gets bigger, so does their deception. I recently spoke with Rachel Lynn Solomon about the X Talk, both the fictional radio show and the novel. I'm Beth Golay, this is Marginalia, and here's our conversation. So the name of your book is The X Talk, and I wonder if you could set it up for us.
Absolutely. So The X Talk is a romantic comedy set in the world of public radio, and it is about Shay and Dominic, who are co-workers forced to pose as exes to host a new show about dating and relationships. And the two of them are always clashing at work. So when the station, which is going through some financial hardship, needs a new show idea and Shay pitches a dating show hosted by exes, their boss thinks that they would be perfect since they already despise each other. So it's just this one little lie to save their job that spirals into so much more.
You know, when it was first offered to me and I saw public radio and I said, absolutely. I mean, you're speaking my language right now. And I understand that you worked for public radio before you started writing. Is that right?
I did. So I worked there in college and in my early 20s. I worked for a couple Seattle public radio stations and then a brief stint in commercial radio as well. But my background is primarily as a producer and an occasional reporter. I was never live on the air.
Well, I was wondering, because you sure had Shay nailed pretty well as far as the production goes. So did you have a role similar to hers?
I did. So she starts out producing a local live talk show with a call-in element. And that was the very first show I interned on, so I definitely have a bit of affection for those kinds of shows. And she is the senior producer on that show. And they deal with a lot of local news stories while also taking on some feature-type discussions.
So where did you come up with the idea for this story? Did you ever have on-air aspirations as well?
I didn't. So that part was for the character mainly. So she has always wanted to be a host, even though for the past 10 years she's worked as a producer. You know, I like to say that this book has been marinating in my brain for the past decade or so, even though I didn't start writing it until a few years ago, because I grew up on kind of the classic 90s romantic comedies where they are largely set in the world of journalism and media. And I think journalist is definitely the most popular job for women in romantic comedies, especially. But I've never seen one set in the world of public radio. And when I was working there, it just felt like such a fun and fascinating setting. I think so many people, you know, NPR listeners especially, would find that peeling back of the curtain to be interesting. And just imagining two people falling in love in that setting was really fun for me. So it wasn't until I specifically landed on this concept that I started writing, but I did eventually, once I left public radio, I did eventually want to write about it.
Well, and I think it's fun for fans of NPR, but I think people who work in public radio, if they read it, I think they would all agree that you nailed just about every aspect. I mean, you got it all right. So that was really fun.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. It was fun just to kind of see a fictional story set in my world. So where did you draw inspiration for your characters? I mean, some of them are really great and lovable, but there are others, like the general manager, who is not so great and lovable. I mean, I'm not going to ask you if that is based on a real person, but instead, where do you find inspiration for your characters?
Sure. So, you know, my villains, it's definitely not based on a real person. I would say they probably have shades of, like, you know, if someone has wronged me in the past, like maybe the smallest sliver of them will appear in a book, but nothing recognizable for sure. But Shay is definitely has a lot of my own personality traits, mainly her love and passion for public radio. She has had really a lifelong love for it, whereas I didn't discover it until high school. So that's definitely a big difference between us. But she grew up loving it, and just her relationship with it, and she just feels this kind of magic and dreaminess associated with it. You know, she talks a lot about how personal it feels to feel someone talking directly into your ear. And just this, it's something that you really only get with this medium, where you feel like you are having a conversation with one other person, and that one person is talking to you. It tapped into a lot of my feelings growing up. And then Dominic, who starts out as her rival and then becomes her co-host and also love interest, he is struggling a lot with, you know, leaving college and adapting to his first job, while Shay is also grappling with, even though she's a few years older than he is, how do I, you know, function as an adult? Like, what does it mean to be an adult, especially as a millennial? I think a lot of you know, me and my friends are trying to figure out what that means and what we should have figured out by a certain point.
You know, that's one of the things I appreciated about Shay and about you telling her story, is that you really kind of delve deep into what was going on in her life with her mom and her mom getting remarried and losing her dad and, like, losing her friend. Talk to me a little bit about that, about writing that aspect of her life.
Yeah, so even though this is primarily a romance with a public radio backdrop, I really like for my characters to feel like fully fleshed people with, you know, all the various things going on in their lives that all of us have. So I try to think about that in terms of subplots and how they can weave together and reflect the main theme of the book. So because Shay is really struggling with who am I as an adult and what should I have accomplished at this point, you know, she's someone who has been really quick to say I love you in relationships, and she falls way too fast. So she is kind of on a dating hiatus at the beginning of the book, while at the same time her mother is getting remarried, and she is completely shocked by this, even though her father passed away 10 years ago and her mother has been seeing someone. She just never thought of this as a possibility. So there's a scene where the two of them are shopping for wedding dresses, and, you know, the woman at the shop assumes that they're shopping for Shay, and it's, you know, a mother and daughter. But I flip that, and she's shopping for wedding dresses with her mother. So definitely a lot of those kinds of complex, you know, parent-child emotions. So they are really, you know, all these layers that reflect, like, am I at the right place in my life with regard to my career and my relationships, and kind of who do I want to be?
You know, I really liked, Shay was introduced to public radio, or to radio in general, because of her father. And they would have this, you know, when she was growing up, they would pretend they were doing talk radio and whatnot. Did you have anybody like that in your life?
My introduction to radio, it happened in high school, and it was a friend of mine. We were coworkers, and she told me, you know, you have to listen to this new show called This American Life, and there's this one episode that I think you would really love. I think it was its 300-somethingth episode at that point. So definitely it was still, you know, not new, but not the kind of popularity and ubiquity that it has today. And it was an episode about breakups, and I just very vividly remember listening to that show and, like, pacing my room and, like, unable to believe that someone knew exactly how I was feeling in that moment, because I was going through my first big breakup at the time. So even though I didn't get attached to it until late in high school, it was such an intense and immediate love that I felt for it that, you know, once I got through college, I was set on studying journalism, and I was so focused on working in public radio. It This American Life was really my gateway, the way I imagine it is for a lot of people.
I was wondering, you know, interspersed throughout the chapters, you will have some scripts, you know, so we're reading the actual transcript from the on-air episode. They just are really snappy and, you know, the dialogue is just really rapid fire. And it was really fun to read. And I'm wondering, how was that to write? I mean, it's a departure from the regular prose and it's a script.
Thank you for saying that. So those were actually the hardest part of the
book.
So I started out writing very heavy YA novels that deal with some darker topics. And it's only recently that I've transitioned into romance and romantic comedies. And part of that was that I wanted to challenge myself with dialogue. I love reading snappy dialogue, but I felt like I had never really been able to like master it for myself. And even now, I definitely would not call myself a master of it. It's something I feel like you're always learning and fine tuning. But I knew I wanted the reader to be able to see the podcast, because I don't think it works if you are telling them, oh, this podcast is getting really popular, but they don't get to see why and, you know, what is actually making them so popular. So originally those scripts were just blank pages in my document where I would write, make this funny later. and then my future self would curse my past self. And, you know, both my agent and my editor encouraged me to elaborate on them because my first drafts were quite short. My first draft of those scripts. And I'm really glad that I did. And I spent a lot of time on them because it was tough to get the dialogue just right, because you're only getting dialogue in those scripts and you want it to feel, you know, snappy enough for someone, for it to be believable that someone would listen and immediately fall in love with it. So that was a really tremendous challenge. So I appreciate the compliment. Thank you.
Absolutely. You know, this podcast, this show was based on a lie. And, you know, we're in this whole era of fake news. And even though this is a podcast and not necessarily, you know, somebody creating something for All Things Considered, it still is considered, you know, the media. And I think our listeners paint us all with a very broad brush. Why was it important to expose the lie?
So going into it, and I was thinking exactly what you're thinking, you know, we put so much faith in journalists, and as a former journalist, I definitely felt strongly about having my characters lie for so much of the book. And I also wanted them to face very serious repercussions, both professionally and personally, once the lie comes out. Because you're absolutely right. Like, we need to trust journalists, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for journalists that has only, you know, ballooned over the past few years. But ethically, it does raise a lot of questions. So I think that in order to keep the characters relatable, it was important that they not ever, you know, fully lean into the lie, and fully, even if they're leaning into it for their jobs, it's still kind of tearing them up.
So what are you working on next?
So I write YA novels alongside romance, and I'm working on a time loop YA novel right now, which is a lot of fun. And then I'm also working on my next adult romance, which takes place at a TV station this time.
Oh, fun. So now that you've written both for YA and adult, do you have a preference, or do you think you'll just continue doing both?
I really love both. I think both of them do very different things, even though I think a lot of my same themes show up in both of them. With adult, what I was really surprised by when I started writing it was just the amount of independence my characters could have. Like, they can just get in a car and drive anywhere, and they don't need to tell anyone where they're going.
That's so true.
It was kind of staggering when I started writing. I was like, oh, she can just, wow, she does not have to tell her mom. Okay. So I love that independence. And I like to think that with YA, characters are really grappling with, who am I and what is my identity? Like, those are really the big questions. In adult, a lot of it is about, who am I in relation to the world? Like, what am I contributing? What do I want to produce? And like, what's next, kind of. So those questions are all really interesting to explore. And I do think Shay, while trying to figure out who she is, because I think it's impossible to write, for me at least, to write a book that doesn't deal with identity in some way, she is really trying to figure out what her career looks like, especially after she's been on the air with this show, and what her relationship is like with public radio.
That was Rachel Lynn Solomon, author of the novel The X Talk, which was published by Berkeley. Thanks for joining us for Marginalia. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review. Marginalia was produced at KMUW Wichita. Our engineers are Mark Statzer and Torin Anderson. Our editors are Luann Stevens and Haley Krausen, and I am the producer. This is Marginalia, and for KMUW, I'm Beth Golay.